listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hey, hello, hello. Welcome back. Welcome to another episode. This episode, we're looking all about what does your life look like if you embrace it, if you embrace what's going on in your life. This is going to be a fascinating topic. I'm thrilled to have Tessa, who's going to be talking a lot with us about this. Why have we got Tessa? Well, who is Tessa? Tessa Van Keen is an experienced coach, a mediator, NLP practitioner, healer, and meditation teacher with a background in social studies and international relations and conflict studies. Tessa guides conscious leaders and change makers on a healing, transformational journey of self-discovery and personal, professional, and spiritual growth. She helps them to reconnect to their strengths and potential so that they can take ownership and live and lead with presence and feel calm and connected. And let's face it, who doesn't want to feel calm and connected, right? She helps them do this even in challenging times. Tessa specializes in holding space, building bridges, and bringing people together. Through her background, she is no stranger to helping people rise up to challenges and deal with stress and anxiety. Now, having lived in Ireland for 15 years, Tessa now resides in her home country, the Netherlands. That's my guest today, Tessa Van Keken. Hey, Tessa, how are you doing?
Hi, Keith. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm very well.
Excellent. Good. It's great to have you here. Thank you so much for getting in touch. And I've got to tell your listeners and viewers, when Tessa got in touch and outlined the sorts of stuff that she did, I knew this was going to be a really good episode. I'm really looking forward to this. It is all about embracing your life. So, but just before we get into that, just want to say thanks to this episode's sponsor. It's sponsored by another podcast, Newton's Nuggets. It's run by Paul Newton. You may have come across him before. He's been a guest on a couple of our previous episodes. He's also a brilliant magician, and he runs Mental Theft. Check those out as well. But Newton's Nuggets is run by Paul Newton and Jesse Lawrence. And it's a great little podcast. Newton's Nuggets delves into different aspects of the life of a modern business owner, providing bite-sized nuggets of advice, information, and the stories behind the people who are experiencing the journey to success. I love the podcast. I've been a guest on it a couple of times. I love many of the guests that they have on there. It's a great little podcast. If you like this podcast, you're really going to like Nuggets. Check it out, newtonsnuggets.com, or you'll find it on iTunes, Spotify, all the best places. Check out Newton's Nuggets, but not before you've listened to the rest of this episode. Now, where were we? Oh, yes. Tessa, we've heard your bio, but who is Tessa?
Oh, I love that question always, because it's one of the things I actually do with my clients and students very often, this idea of like, who am I? And then I actually mostly answer it like that. The real question is, where am I? Being like, in what space, in what state am I? But of course, we also are someone, we have our things. So, and I think for me, there's so many facets always. Like, I grew up in the Netherlands with divorced parents, and they were complete opposites, which meant that I very much learned to be in different ways of living. And the one was more a hippie style, follow your heart style, and the other one was rational, do what's the most smart thing to do. So I'm very much float between being able to be in a space of spirituality and I don't know, deep inner healing and things like that. And at the same time, I would be as comfortable addressing a boardroom with managers and talk more practically about being more present. But that's the things I do in a way. So, but that's why I sometimes find that question very difficult, because it's like, oh, you know, so who am I? But I think what's really me is I'm a introvert people person, which means I very much can be very shy and quiet. And at the same time, I love being around with people and having deep conversations and really diving deep into exploring the world and seeing like what's happening in the world and what's around me and how can I contribute to make the world a better place. I know it sounds very cliche, but I've always been interested in everything to do with nature and people and seeing how can we actually understand each other even when we feel so different. So I don't know if that's really an answer to your question, but
it's a great answer. It really is a great answer. And I'm going to say you are a fascinating lady. And listeners, there is, for those of you who signed up on Patreon, there's a little bonus episode, bonus interview, where we delve a little bit more into who Tess is and what makes her tick. You can absolutely love that one. Patreon.com/Keith Blakemore Noble. Sign up to Patreon. You'll find out even more about Tessa. We could talk about you and your background and so on for ages. We'll talk a little bit more about that in the bonus one, patreon.com/Keith Blakemore Noble. But for now, let's talk about what it was that you wanted to share here. And it's all about embracing life. So I guess the first question that comes to mind is what do we mean by embracing our life? What do we mean by that?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because throughout my own personal healing journey of personal growth and development and working with clients and students around this, like, and I mainly did it through coaching, meditation, healing, I always struggled with the ideas of like being fully self-compassionate, compassionate for others, accepting what's here now, all that kind of stuff. Because there was so much stuff that it was like, and I heard people say it as well, but how can I accept that? And then there would be something bad that's happening to the person or me, or like, you know, or it's something like the injustice in the world. So it's like, how can I not be against that? And what came from that was that I experienced those so much that the more when you fight something, the more stress you experience and the more unhappy you are. And that moment where you can embrace what is here now, whether it's like I said it earlier, you know, when it's raining nearly, like, you know, that instead of being, oh no, I want the sun to shine and I don't want this to be, I want something else. The stress that causes that when you embrace that it's raining and then make your choices, how much peace that gives and how much relaxation. So I think for me, embracing life has nothing to do with liking everything that's in it. It has nothing to do with not looking at how you can improve or change or develop things or whatever, but it has to do with that rather than fighting what's going on, to actually embrace it. And then from that embrace space, look at, okay, what can change? If there is one change, you know, you can also, if you embrace it, you may also be like, actually, you know what, this is not so bad.
Yeah, got it. Okay, so, I mean, you've kind of touched on some of the benefits of embracing life. Can you tell us just a little bit more? I mean, I guess there's two parts to the question. One, what happens if you don't embrace life? And two, what happens if you do? What's the benefits from embracing it?
Yeah, so I think what you don't is like, you know, you see this, I mentioned it a little bit earlier, but you see this all the time, right? There is something that we say like, no, but this should not be this way. And as I said, let's take actually a really big issue, like something, a social injustice or something that you think, no, this should not happen to people. People, I don't know, should not be robbed. People should not be murdered, right? And there's big, big stuff that you can say, well, if I say I embrace the world as it is or my life and there's this bad stuff, then no, I don't want that. But what's happening is that when you see And we have all experienced that feeling of like, no, I don't want this. And the stress it causes, and the either you give out to yourself or you give out to someone who is causing something, or you give out to society or to the government or to God, if you believe in God. You know, there's always someone or something to blame. And even though maybe if you factually, if you like, have a real grievance to someone or something, and you would be in your right to think that something is being done to you or to the world, the thing is that that feeling of against causes you stress. In Buddhism, they use an example where they say, if someone has done something to you, or if someone has done some injustice, that you grab the coals, the hot coals, to throw them at them. But you get hurt. You're in pain. So this is more about embracing, is looking at, okay, if I can actually release that, I'm doing it for me too, right? It's not about, oh, if I am not against that person or against what's happening, well, then I'm against me. It's not an either or. It's like in that embrace, you're both. It's like if you look at an actual embrace, you cannot hug someone without someone touching you, right? Maybe the other one puts the arms around you too, or they may not. But either way, you're together in that hug. Mm-hmm. It can never be one person without the other, right? So I think that's with life as well. It becomes a interaction, an interbeing, an interflow, which helps you to not have conflict. Basically, it's that conflict that resolves. And then within that, again, still in that embrace, if I embrace life, I can still say, hey, but what can I, from this space of embracing, what actions can I take, or what actions can I try others to take, try to make others to take, to change things? It's not about saying, oh, well, then it's just the way it is.
Right. Okay. So by embracing it, that then puts whatever it is, whatever the situation is, by fully embracing it, that then gives us a basis from which to build and move forward and create whatever change or positive growth or movement that we want to change. And by embracing it, that gives us a solid platform to build on.
Yeah, it's like, as I said, if you had hoped for sunny weather and it's raining, you can be angry about it and you feel bad. I mean, the weather is not going to feel anything and it's not going to change because you don't like it. So I always like to use it as an example because it's an easy one to practice, right? Yeah. It's much more difficult if it's like a partner or family member or a boss or a government or someone else, because then all other things come in. But the weather is an easy one in a way to practice with, because the weather is not going to take you into account. It's not out to get you, you know. It's just it's either raining or sunny or something in between, and it's nothing to do with you, right? So it's a really easy one, or not easy, but it's a good one to practice with, to say, if it's raining, I can feel, oh, why is it raining, and I needed this, and oh, it's always happening, and why is this happening to me, or why is it this way? Or I can think, okay, well, look, there's really nothing I can do about this. So if I can really experience, because that's the thing, I can tell myself, oh, I should not care that it's raining. But if I do, then I'm creating an inner conflict. Because I say, oh, no, it's fine. But I don't feel fine. But if I can really go into that space, and this is why within the embracing life comes a little bit of embracing also what you're feeling. So first actually accept that you don't like that it's raining. And then say, okay, I don't like it, but it is what it is. And if you come from that space and that you can actually see, okay, it's raining, there's nothing I can do about it. So now what do I want to do? Then your action of dealing with the fact that it's raining becomes much more positive, because then you can just think of, you know, you can either decide to change your plans, or you can bring rain gear, or I don't know what you want to do. But you can suddenly come from a positive space instead of from that, I don't want it to be this way, it shouldn't be this way, and I'm fighting that and I'm only stressing myself out.
Right.
And then if it's the rainy weather, you may be able to do that also when partner or boss, someone else does something. That's more difficult. It's a bit more tricky.
Yeah. Now, there's something you said in there which I really like, and that is that embracing it, accepting it and embracing it doesn't mean you have to like it. Yeah. But you're just embracing and accepting it so you can build from that. So it's not about necessarily liking what's happening, but it's accepting and embracing it so that you can then move forward.
I think that is really paramount. And this is also why, and I'm pretty sure there's episodes where this comes up that it's as a good thing, but I'm not a huge fan of affirmations or positive psychology. I think it's an amazing tool. I think when you're very deep into maybe a negative state or feeling really bad, then that can really help you to pull out. But I think if you only go to the other side, it's still dual. It's still then that's either good or it's bad, right? Or we move from the bad to the good. But it's still, so then it's, as I said, oh, I need to like the fact. I need to love the rain. No, I don't need to love the rain at all. All I have to do is to be okay that it's there. Right. So, but sometimes if we're really in a negative state, then these affirmations or positive things can help us to swing the other way to end up in that middle space of just allowing it to be as it is. But saying that, I think it's that is important because, as I said, you can create inner conflict if you're not experiencing liking it or loving it and you're telling yourself you should, then that friction moves from you to something outside to an internal friction. And I think that can cause a lot of, obviously, unhappiness too. So I think it's important to realize, like, it's nothing. It's like, again, if you embrace another person in a way, understanding them, accepting them as they are, has nothing to do with agreeing. I may totally be like, actually, you know what? I don't agree with your view. I also think your actions are not right. And I actually want to do something to say either, well, not in my, like having my boundary saying, no, I won't accept that towards me, or I don't accept that towards that. But within that, I can still understand, embrace, accept you as being as that. I can just take also actions to say the consequence of that, though, is that I say, no, I don't want to engage in, I don't know, whatever conversation around that.
I get you. Now, that interesting stuff. I like that. I liked what you were saying there as well around affirmations. You'll be surprised to know I've got a whole episode about talking about affirmations. And a lot of what you said there links up directly with what's in there as well. So it's really interesting to hear somebody else saying similar things. Thanks for sharing that. I guess we've seen what we mean by embracing life. We've seen why it's important. We've seen what it can do for us. I guess that leads to the obvious question: How do I go about embracing these things? Particularly, I mean, it's easy to embrace something that you like. How do I go about embracing these things that I don't like the pouring rain or somebody doing something that's just goes against my boundaries? How do we start practicing this?
Yeah. So as I said, I think the weather is a perfect one because it can really, you can feel how you react to the weather. And as I said, there's no mutual emotions involved to that mod the practice. But I think the first thing I want to say is, you can only embrace what is here right now. So you can only embrace life in this moment. Right. Because you can say, oh, I'm going to embrace tomorrow, but tomorrow isn't here yet. So the actual embracing always happens in this moment. Now, whatever you practice right now can influence how, if or when tomorrow you may be embracing life. But you can't embrace tomorrow. You can only embrace now. I think that's a very important something because sometimes we're always so get caught up in like, oh yeah, later, and then I'll embrace what is coming next year. But you may be doing that or not, but you will only know that next year. So your practice now can help that. So this is, again, first thing that comes from one of the most important elements of practicing this is practicing being present, being actually present in this moment. And even in that, I always say, being in the present moment doesn't mean that you never think about the past or that you don't plan anything for the future, but it means that your actual living, your actual embracing life, that is happening right here. So that it's not about, oh, if only I had about the past, or what if this or that will happen in the future? But it becomes more a, oh, this happened. What can I learn from it? How can I, by maybe looking at the past, change how I'm being in the present, or with the planning for the future? I mean, again, if you go, if you do want to do something that's weather dependent, it does make sense to look to the weather forecast and plan a little bit accordingly. Don't plan your big barbecue in the middle of December. but at the same time, I don't know how it's in the UK, but I know here today it's beautiful weather, 20 plus, and yesterday it was 15 degrees and raining. So, you know, sometimes you just don't know.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then it comes to that moment and you then adapt. So I think that's the thing. So I think, I do believe that awareness, presencing practice, meditation, mindfulness, it has to be part of your practice. I think without that, it's very, very difficult. Because if you only do it with mental practices, even things like NLP, positive psychology, affirmations, if we only do that, it stays something in the head, so we're not experiencing it. So I do think there is that element of we need to go into our bodies. We need to go from the head to the heart, to the hara. I use the hara a lot, which is a Japanese term for it, well, physically, it means your belly, but it also is really the core of your being. It's your real center. So I like the head, heart, hara. They need to be aligned to really embrace life, because you can't do it just with the head. You can't do it just with the heart either. It has to include your core as well.
I get you. Okay. Nice. And I really like what you're saying there about how excuse me, you can only embrace like the here and now. You can't embrace what was or what might be. You can only embrace what's now. So be mindful of the present, focus on the present, and yet still have an eye on the future, because as you say, what you do now has an impact on the future. And also sometimes it always comes to the weather, doesn't it? All comes to the weather.
it is such a
great example. You're right, because it's something which can have a big impact on what we're doing. It's something we can have a lot of emotion about. Oh my word, it's raining again. But as you say, it's something which clearly there is no emotional attachment from the weather towards us. So you're right. It is a brilliant example of it. Have an eye to the future where it's relevant, but focus on here and now when you're embracing.
Yeah, I think, and I'm afraid I can't say where I read it or who said it, but I absolutely loved it. And it said, your practice is be the ancestor of your future happiness. So rather than trying to be happy right now or trying to completely get caught up in, how do I make sure that I'm happy tomorrow or next year? To think everything you do right now, every choice you make in this moment does have an impact on your future. So why not practice each moment to be the ancestor of your future happiness? I love that. I think it's amazing. Because I think, again, right now I can say, you know what? I don't feel mindful. I'm just going to be angry. And it's not a choice that I'm angry, but still, I'm not doing something to change it. Or I can think, all right, if I keep doing this, if I constantly keep getting up, caught up in being bothered by the weather, and constantly in a year's time, I still be unhappy with it. So I can also do some difficult practices now. And this is also why I think meditation and awareness practices are not always fun. Yes, we may sometimes feel relaxed during, but sometimes it's confronting us with all the stuff that comes up. But by doing that in this moment means that my future self will be a little bit more happy because I've dealt with it right now. Yes. And there might also be days where I say, okay, not today. I feel too tired. I'm too whatever. Today, I'm just going to watch something on TV and I'm not dealing with it. That's okay too. And that comes with that embracing yourself as well. Because again, if I embrace the world, and only for the ones watching a video can see this, but if I'm embrace the world, I'm in that world. So I'm also embracing me.
Yeah, got it. And it's embracing the head. I like that when you're talking about the head, the heart, and the hara. So you get it all in alignment and bring it all into embracing. As you said more than once, when you embrace something, it's basically embracing you back. You are in contact. You can't embrace without both parties being involved. Yeah. Nice. I like it. I love that quote so much. I've written it down. Be the ancestor of your future happiness. That is a brilliant one. That also reminds me of something. I cannot remember who it was who said it, but they're saying if you're thinking of doing something and you're thinking, I'm not going to do that because it's going to take 5 years to do that. Here's some news for you. Those 5 years are going to pass anyway, whether you do it or not. And it's so true, isn't it? Yeah, you might as well do it because the time's going to pass. And ties in with this, be the ancestor of your future happiness. Love it. I got to ask, what happens if you're attempting to embrace, but it's just really not working? Is there any time where you kind of just go, you know what, I'm not going to embrace this? Or other things you can do if you're just finding it really hard to embrace?
I think like, and this is where it comes into, like, it is a practice. Like, I know that a lot of people, and my own teacher said this too, that a client of his as well said once, and so when am I there? You know, when am I able to, you know, as if it's an end stage where you will be embracing life, where it's not, it's a lifelong practice. And that is why at the beginning, when you said, who am I? This is where am I comes in. Am I in that grounded space where I can embrace life, or am I not? And this happens to me like dozens of times a day, that you move out of that space and then come back. So I think also for me, I always say to people, the practice is not just being in that space. The practice is being able to come back to it. So the more aware and conscious I am, the more easily and sooner I notice when I get out of that space. So also the easier it gets to, once I notice that, to then at least make sure that I come back to that space. So, but it will always happen. I mean, none of us are always conscious. And then there's the kindness to yourself. I remember once like being on a retreat and some stuff had happened in my private life and I was just really not in a good space. And normally when I'm in the retreat, the healing retreat, whoever you end up working with, you know, you have more of a connection with one person than the other. And normally I would embrace being paired up with someone where I don't have so much connection with, because that's helps me as well to kind of see, okay, what's being triggered here, and I can work with that, and it helps me actually to grow. But this time, because I felt very fragile and I felt very whatever, but that time I did not embrace that, and I actually on purpose really made sure to be paired up with people where I can just automatically feel really relaxed and calm. But it was very important for me to realize it has nothing to do with that other person, because it was very easy for me to look at the fact that some other people in the group always also found her difficult. So it would be very easy for me to go into a space of, but it's normal, I'm entitled to. No, it was, I really brought it back, and that's to me the real embracing. It's, I brought it back that I said, in this moment in time, I don't feel up for it. Whatever the reason may be, maybe all other people do like her or don't like her, that's irrelevant. It's for me in this moment. So I think it starts with practicing for yourself, being 100% honest with yourself in the moments where you don't feel up to it, but you don't have to have a good reason for it. You don't have to justify it, not to others, but also not to yourself. Because once you start being really honest, that sometimes you do something like eating chocolate. That's not good for you. And you don't have to have a reason. Oh, yeah, but it's that time of the month, so now the chocolate is okay for me. Or no, it's not. You don't need it ever. But if you want it sometimes, do so. And then go into that space of when you're honest, then you notice an opening. Then you notice, already it becomes easier to embrace myself as I am. And I don't have to say, oh, well, that's just the way I am. I accept myself. Because that's not really accepting yourself. That's not embracing yourself. That's just kind of going, I'm putting another wall around this. That's like not dealing with it. Whereas if I can say, hey, you know what? I do sometimes snap at people. And I accept myself that I sometimes do that, but I also want to be mindful what is happening, what do I need to actually be able to not go in that space where I feel where apparently I'm not aligned, head, heart, hara, and I then start snapping. So can I do something about that? What do I need? Do I need more sleep? Do I need to, I don't know. But that's that kindness to yourself. And then you start realizing that self-compassion in that embrace again, you can't be either compassionate to yourself or to others. You can only be compassion. Compassion is a verb. So once you start practicing compassion, it automatically is you and the other or the other and you. Yeah. So I think that's the practice. And it's noticing when you're not there, don't give out to yourself. Don't go, oh, I did it again. And oh, I was giving out to the weather again. And why did I do it again? No, so okay, giving out to the weather.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got it.
Now.
So, yeah. So it's not, as you say, it's not an end goal. It's just a continuing, ongoing practice. And the more you practice it, the better you'll become, the easier it will become to embrace and also to spot when you're not embracing and to accept that and move back into embracing again.
Yeah. And I think it really starts with one breath. You can take one deep breath. There's a reason that we say this in life, right? If someone gets anxious, take a deep breath because it helps you. I think just taking deep breaths on its own, then it becomes like you have to keep doing that all the time.
Yeah.
But it helps. But it's have some sort of practice. But I also say I often compare it to maybe someone who does sports, right? If your goal is to run a marathon and that's your only goal, you could train to run a marathon and then stop and then never run again. But for most people, they train to run a marathon, but they want to be able to stay fit to be able to run. Maybe they never run a marathon again, but they want to still be able to run. But to keep running, you can't say, oh, well, now I've done the marathon, so I don't have to train anymore. I now am able to run marathons. It's no, if you want to keep being able to do that, you have to keep training or your muscle starts deteriorating again or you can't handle it. So for this kind of being in that state of mind or that way of being where you can easily be present, where you can actually accept things, is the same thing. It's a lifelong practice. If you stop practicing, you'll notice again that you get more quickly irritated or anxious or unhappy. So it is a practice and there's no end goal as such.
Yeah. Now that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. Tessa, it's been I have learned a lot through this. I've absolutely loved that conversation. We could carry this on for ages. I'm aware that we're up against time. I've no doubt people are going to want to find out more. What's the best way for people to find out a bit more about you, what you do, and maybe even get in touch?
Yes, well, you can find me on my website. It's tessavankeken.com, TessaVankeken.com. But there's also a lot of information on LinkedIn, on Facebook. I also have a Facebook group where I sometimes do some sessions. So if people kind of want to see some videos and stuff like that to kind of get an idea of what these practices are actually like, because I know that in the end we can talk about it. Cookbook has come home, but in the end, it's about doing the practices. So that would be a good way to find out more.
Brilliant. So that's Tessa Van Keken, TessaVankeken tessaclark.com. You'll find more about Tessa there. You'll find links to her other stuff. As Tessa says, she's also active on Facebook and LinkedIn. The links to all of those are in the show notes for this episode. So if you go to keithblakemanoble.com/show, look for the one with Tessa van Kaken. You'll get all the links to all of her profiles and everything there. Or just go to tessavankaken.com and find out more. Thank you so much, Tessa. It's been great having you here. I hope you've enjoyed this as much as I have, Tessa.
Thank you so much, Keith. Yeah, it was really wonderful. I love talking about this kind of stuff, but it's always nice to be with someone who ask the right questions and is interested as well, and then really dive deeper, because I really, again, embracing things as well to me really means that it's an interactive process as well. Like, this stuff comes up through this connection, through this conversation, more so than just, you know, listing it somewhere. So I think these conversations are so important. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you, dear listener and dear viewer. I hope you've enjoyed it. As I say, tessavankaken.com. You'll find out lots more information. Also go to keithblakemanoble.com/show, where you'll find the show notes and more details for this episode and for past and future episodes. And also check out patreon.com/keithblakemanoble. You sign up, become a patron there, you get access to lots more stuff, including there is a bonus video where Tessa and I talk about a few more interesting topics. You're going to want to check that out. It's exclusive to patrons. That's it for this episode. Big thank you to my guest, Tessa, for joining us. I will catch you all next time. And until the next time, I'm going to leave you with Tessa's favorite quote. It's by Ellen Watts. And the quote is, "You cannot change what you cannot accept."
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. To find out more, please visit KeithBlakemoreNoble.com.